Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Welcome to Amen Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are ecstatic that you have joined us this evening for the Word of God. I hope that you have prepared your hearts and your minds, amen, to receive from God on this evening. Apostle McQueen has been preparing himself, amen. He's been spending time with God, and I do believe, people of God, that he definitely has a word for each and every one of us on this evening. So grab your Bibles, amen. Get yourself prepared. Get your pencils and your papers, amen. Get in a quiet room, amen. Feed the kids, and let us just sit at the table and just begin to sup and eat the word that is prepared, that God has prepared for us, amen, his people, amen. But before I even begin with the announcements, I just want to read an encouraging word, amen, this evening for each and every one of us. If you would turn to the book of James with me, the book of James chapter 3, amen, the book of James, glory to God, chapter 3, starting at the 9th verse. Amen. The book of James, chapter 3, starting at the 9th verse. And the word of God reads as such. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. But bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Amen. And the word of God and the word of the Lord is blessed. Amen. People of God, we must understand that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Amen. Yes, there's a time when you must stand up and war for that which is right according to the will of the Lord. Amen. We must know how to rightly divide the word of truth. We must know how to, amen, attack those spirits and those ideologies and those different Gnostic religions, amen, that fight against the knowledge of truth, which is the word of God. But at the same time, amen, we can't be fighting and being wicked on one side, and then the next side we're trying to bless people and speak words of wisdom and prophesy all over them. No, no, no. You have to be one way or the other. There is just one choice, either with God or without God. We cannot stand in the middle. And today, people of God, there are many, many, many people that want to stand right in the middle. They don't want to make a choice and a decision. Well, if you look around you today and the different things that are going on in the world, a decision must be made. Whose side are you on? Are you for him? Are you for God? Or are you for the enemy? There is no other choice. Amen. You will. I'm not on anybody's side. Well, even if you decide not to make a decision, you're still making a decision. Amen. If it's not about Christ and crucified, if it's not about showing love, peace, righteousness, the very things that I read right here in the Word of God, if you're not pursuing after those things, amen, and revealing and manifesting the kingdom of God in the earth and around to the different people that he has placed you in, if you're not manifesting his presence, his power, his glory, his love, his kindness, his peace, amen, then you are not standing for him. Amen. But for those of us who desire after God and run after him with everything that is within our being, we must pursue the fruit of righteousness. Amen. And know that when it's sown in peace, amen, that peace follows. Glory to God. Those are just some encouraging words this evening as we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the message being delivered from our Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen and amen. So people of God, I just want to go quickly into the announcements, our upcoming events. Amen. And then I will get out of the way and then let us hear from the man of God. Amen. Letting you know, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., please join us for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Amen. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., please join me for Prophetic Atmosphere, Brothers Crystal McQueen. That's 7 p.m. every Thursday. And then we have every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday at 8 a.m. Join us for our ministry live worship experience broadcast. Amen. Right here. Those of you who are living right in the Brevard County area, we want to personally extend an invitation to you to come, amen, at our house of worship and begin to worship with us live. We do start services. Intercessory prayer on Saturday is at 9 a.m. Service following immediately 9:30 a.m. On Sunday, intercessory prayer at 8 a.m. and service following immediately at 8:30 a.m. Where are we located? Right here in Cocoa, Florida. Our address is 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida, 32922. That's Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida, 32922. We cannot wait to see you. Come expecting, amen, a move of God. Come expecting a word from the Lord. He will not disappoint you. Amen. Glory to God. Those are our brief announcements. Amen. Do go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Amen. Not only can you see us live right now, you can also go back to our archives and catch up with the word of God that has been being delivered through our apostle, amen, for the people of God. And the immediate need that the people have, amen, and that God is definitely answering our prayers, and we are definitely praying for you as well. So if any of you would like more information concerning the church, amen, right there on our website, go to the Contact Us page, follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Amen. Glory to God. We do ask also that you would pray about becoming a vision partner, amen, with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Glory to God, and we thank him for all that he has done. And finally, just letting you know, in our events, I want to personally invite you to my WOPD, Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference, beginning this Thursday, October, amen, 16th through the 19th. Amen, that's October 16th through the 19th. Services start promptly at 7 p.m. on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then I'm concluding, amen, 4 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. Join me, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 Cocoa, Florida, 32922. Amen. It's going to be some powerful men and women of God that are going to be here. Amen. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss the word of God. And you definitely, if you have a need, meet us right here so that God can meet it. Amen. That is October 16th through the 19th. Services start promptly at 7 p.m. Then following up, we have a singles conference ministry. Amen. That's going to begin October 31st, November the 1st. This year's theme, Successfully Single. And then coming up in January 29th through February the 1st, 2015, Joshua Generations Young Warriors Conference. Young people, come. We're on fire. Amen. We can't wait. I can't wait. Amen. I want to be right in the middle of it, right when the men and women of God and the young people come together. Amen. Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. Even more details are coming very soon, but keep those dates in mind. January 29th through February 1st, 2015. Amen. Then those are the events and those are the announcements. Amen. Govern yourself accordingly. Now let us pray. And then immediately following me, the next voice you will hear will be our apostle, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, we just say thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your protection, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us. God, we thank you for the open doors and the favor that you have given us, God. We thank you for the souls, Father, that you are constantly leading into this place. We thank you for the signs, the wonders, and the miracles that you have been performing mightily on behalf of your people. Father, even now, we thank you for the word of God that is getting ready to be delivered unto your people through the man of God in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we, your people, come and we humble ourselves at your feet. We grab a hold of the horns, amen, of prayer this evening, God, and we just begin to just say yes to your will and yes to your way. Have your way in our lives, God. We just say birth another yes down in our souls, our minds, and our spirits. Father, help us to receive this word that you're about to deliver through our man of God. Father, our ears are tuned and our hearts are ready to receive. Our hands are uplifted as a sign of surrender unto your will. God, we just begin to bless your holy name and we thank you for all that you have done and continue to do. God, we're asking that you would begin to touch your people, Father, that are under the sound of my voice. Those we're lifting up in prayer, God, those the Gillum family, we're lifting them up in prayer, Father. We're asking that you would strengthen them in their situation. We're lifting up the McQueen family, God. We're lifting them up in prayer as well as you begin to move on the hearts and the minds of your people and begin to strengthen them. Whatever your will is, let be done in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we ask that this word will go forth through the airwaves and begin to touch and change the lives of your people, all for your glory, God. We thank you and we praise you in the matchless name of Jesus. We give you all name, your name, all praise, all glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let us prepare, people of God, for Apostle Christopher McQueen.
God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Come on, let's give God a praise all over this building. Amen. So happy that God has chosen to be here with us today. Amen. Truly, there is the word of God. There is some things that God is here to do for us. Amen. And this is your day. Amen. To be blessed. I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about the word that he has been giving us and that we've been dealing with. I know that at this point in time that we, as we go forward in God, we are ready to begin to go to the next level. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know that this is going to be an exciting time. Amen. Just to reiterate and to reinforce the announcement, Prophetess Crystal has given us, amen, the announcement for this week. And starting on Thursday, October 16th, at 7 p.m., we will begin the Women Prophetic Destiny Conference 2014. Amen. Now, those of you who know us know that the conferences are dynamic. God gives us the opportunity and the ability, amen, to come together, begin to instruct, to impart, and to give kingdom assignment. Amen. Now, we begin to come in and look at what God is saying and move forward in the things of God. Amen. So this is going to be no different this time. I'm excited about it because we know that God has something special in store for you. Amen. With that being said, the service each night will be at 7 p.m., Thursday at 7, Friday at 7, Saturday at 7, concluding Sunday at 4 p.m. Service on Saturday morning, amen, at 9:30, as well as Sunday morning at 8:30 will also be included in the lineup. And I want you to know we have men and women of God coming from all over, amen. I've already gotten texts and calls from different ones who are coming from Ohio and other places, driving in, flying in, however they're coming. And we're just grateful that God is sending them this way, amen. If you are in Central Florida and you have the capacity or the ability to come and be here, you want to be in the house, amen. This is going to be a dynamic move of God and a time of worship, a time of a celebration, amen, in the things of God. So we want you to be aware of that, and we want you to come and worship and celebrate with us, amen. Let's see what God is doing for us. Amen. And then, of course, we have October 31st and November 1st will be the single conference. Amen. And that will be going on right afterward. We'll have a little bit more coming up with that. But I want you to know that God is doing something at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen. Don't miss out. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Amen. All right. Now, let's get into this word. We have been dealing with 1 Samuel, 16th chapter, amen. And there's certain things that we have been talking about and we have been dealing with specifically concerning Saul and David, amen. And the thing with Saul and David, when you begin to look at them, you begin to see that Saul and had already been given the kingdom, chosen by God to lead his people. But given power and authority, he moved into his own fleshly ways. Amen. And I want you to know that God knows how to get the glory out of a situation. Brother, sister, don't think for one moment that God is stuck on you. Amen. God is not hindered by you. God is not slowed down in his progression, in his plan based on your hardness, your stiff neck, you know, your disobedience, if you will, your refusal to go forward and do the things that God is calling you to do. God always has a ram in the bush, amen? And you need to understand that he chose you for opportunity. Can go to anyone, amen? So when you refuse to do, thinking that you hold enough to show, I just want to remind you this, a saying back in the day I heard, one monkey don't stop no show. Amen. And that's how it is when we begin to look at what's happening here with Saul. Saul got into a position of authority, and he lost his mind. Amen. Where we are right now is 1 Samuel 16. We see here that at the very end that the anointing on David's life is about to put him or catapult him or, if you will, place him in a position, amen, of going up, ascension. He's going to step up, amen. When we first meet David, David is not even chosen first, second, or third. He is chosen after all else has failed. Don't you have another son? Amen. Samuel said, and yeah, well, I do have David. Where is he at? He's out back with the sheep. He wasn't the first choice. And I want you to know you don't have to be the first choice, amen, to be used by God. Let me say something right there. Sometimes it's not the first choice. That's the best choice, amen. Amen. Some of you got upset and somebody else stepped up and they got to go and you didn't. You thought that it was all over for you. I want you to know that just because they went don't mean that it was over, amen. They just went in their turn, amen, but you have a turn too. Look at your neighbor and say, I got a turn too, amen. So knowing that I have a turn, then that means that I have to stand up and step up when God calls me my name. I need to be able to answer his call, amen. The anointing that's on David's life, amen, if you will, and begins to position him for the greatness that he was created for. And each one of us has been created for a greatness, amen. God did not create you so that you could just be a statistic. You weren't an afterthought. You weren't a oops that somebody tried to make good. Brother, sister, God made you to be somebody special. You need to realize that and recognize that so that when the enemy comes to destroy who you are in your mind and in your security, insecurity, you can stand up and tell him, you know, I may not have been nothing in my past, but I was in my making then. And today, right now, I am who God called me to be. I shall demonstrate the grace, the glory of God. Amen. So God didn't call me into, as I said before, he didn't call me into mediocrity. Too many people are just trying to exist within the middle of, I don't want to be too much this side or too much that side. I don't want nobody to look at me or say anything one way or the other. I don't want to be on the cutting edge of anything. Put me right in the middle so that if it goes a little left or a little right, I can stay comfortable where I am. Brother and sister, God is moving you from your comfort zone into his. Ooh, that'll preach right there. Because your comfort zone keeps you out of his progressive move, but his comfort zone keeps you safely in his arms. My brothers and sisters, I want you to remember that the Bible it lets us know that in the time of trouble, he shall hide us in the secret of his tabernacle. Amen. In other words, when there's trouble coming, he's going to hide you. You need to go on then and step out and try. Stop trying to do God's job and hide yourself. God didn't create you to be hidden. He created you to be seen. His glory has to be shown through you. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to show forth the glory of God. Amen. So as we begin to look then, as I said, your ministry, your anointing will bring you before great kings and greatness, amen. And God has already called you to be great, amen. That's what he called you to, amen. So you don't have to worry about all of this, whether or not, you know, you were supposed to be somebody special. You are somebody. God created you to be somebody. So you need to stand up and just be who God created you to be. Amen? Amen. Now, let's look at this. 1 Samuel 16 and 21. Him. And he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please Let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. Amen. 23rd verse. And so it was whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. And Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Now, isn't it interesting that God would use someone who has the next leg of your anointing to comfort you when it's lifted? Isn't it interesting that Saul here was anointed of the Lord, but because of his movement, because of what he wanted to do, he lost out with God. Brothers and sisters, don't lose out with God. Look at your neighbor and say, I can't afford to lose out with God. Losing out with God simply says that at the wrong time, my flesh stood up. And instead of me staying on track with my destiny, the wheels came off the cart. And I was not able to get the wheels back on the cart. So I never made my destination. But look at this. Along the road came another caravan or another car and trailer. And what they did was they took the load that was on my broken cart and put it on theirs. You see this? And then they took it where it needed to go. Sisters, your flesh will cause you to circumvent your destiny. Samuel told Saul many times, he said, listen, if you would have done the right thing, God would establish your throne forever. But now, because your flesh, because of your disobedience, God has cut you off. This is the message now. And we always talk about the blessing that David received from the blessing and the anointing of Samuel, but we don't talk about Saul. And I think more of us would stop shipwrecking if we recognize and realize that just because you are anointed today does not mean that you're going to be anointed tomorrow. I'm talking to someone right now. Your anointing that is upon your life today is not guaranteed tomorrow. Now, what are you saying, man of God? I'm saying that in your life, when you are walking after your flesh and not the auspices of God, then you find that his grace on your life can and will lift. Testimony of that very self same thing. Everything that he was supposed to do, he lost out because when God said, do it this way, Saul did it his way. And in doing so, what we find is that as he did it his way, God began to back off of him. I'm so grateful that God doesn't cut us off at the first mishap. And he didn't cut Saul off either. He gave him time and chance after time and chance. If we go all the way back to the beginning, and I'm not going to because it would take up the rest of this broadcast to just talk about the chances that he had. But let me just recap them for you. He was chosen. And when it came time for him to stand up as the choice, he hid himself. Some of you, God has chosen you. And when it's time for you to stand up and say, here am I, Lord, send me, we find you trying to prefer others and push others out and deny that you have the call on your life. He said, this is your king, and called him forward. Told them what they needed to do for him and what the protocol was, set all those things in order. So now here he is. He's in the position now, the first ever king, amen? And he goes back home, and when the enemy comes and attacks, he calls out, and everybody comes. and he's feeling pretty good about himself. Huh? Listen, let me tell you something. When you are called by God, sometimes when you call, everybody ain't coming. But don't stop walking. Don't stop going. Amen. Because God is getting the glory out of the whole situation. Amen. So he calls, everybody comes. He goes out, there's a great victory. Amen. And he comes back feeling good. The problem with this is that he starts feeling too good and starts getting full of himself. He gets nervous and decides, you know, Samuel ain't acting quick enough for me. The anointing is not fast enough for me. I'll do it myself. Offers a sacrifice himself up. Don't think for a minute once God lifts you up that the protocol left. Huh? Protocol is what it is. It is the thing that keeps us in line. It reminds you that the same way that you come up, you can go right back down. God will raise another one up just like he raised you up. Huh? So as he began to deal with all of this, he saw that he had some issues in his flesh. And brothers and sisters, we need to understand that you got to deal with your issues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Before God elevates you up to that level where the greatness is going to be shown, he has to deal with, you have to deal with your issues. From the very beginning, Saul was insecure. His failure to obey was based on trying to get people to like him. Huh? As they saw him, and as he perceived how they saw him, his confidence would go up or would go down. He never trusted in God. He trusted in who was around him. And isn't that the truth today, that we have people who are in ministry who feel good and on top of the world as long as they got folk showing up? Yeah. Ain't preached a message about Jesus in a long time. You know, we hear them, they're preaching and talking about the fact that this is a civil rights thing, or that's a grace thing, or this is love, or if you just give all your money, God will give you more money. Somehow or another, I don't understand how that works, because a bird in the hand is greater than two in the bush, amen? And what happens is they talk you out of your money. Now, the Bible clearly says that he'll give seed to the sower and bread. Huh? So if the Bible says that, then that means he's going to give you the resource. He's going to meet the need. Amen? But listen to this other one. And my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I mean, sometimes he's already supplied the need that you misappropriated. And now you have to try to get away or find a way to get that need met. Huh? God knows what he's doing when he's doing it. Amen? Amen. Don't miss it. Don't mess it up. Amen. You'll be waiting for it to come back around a corner, and it ain't coming. Amen. If God did it, he already done it. Amen. 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 Now, let's look at this. A few things I want to see here. We were in North Carolina over the past weekend, and while we were there, the message that the man of God, Pastor Whitaker, Reverend Whitaker, preached was, I got your back. Right here, we were talking and sharing, standing out, we were talking about David, and even when he had the opportunity to destroy Saul, would not do so. Why? Because he was God's anointed. Here in the 21st verse, we see the source of that dedication. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. Amen. First of all, there was a connection to his leadership. All right now. Connection to the leadership. Now, when we talk about connection to the leadership, what we're saying here is that when he stood before him, he did not come with his skill. He did not come talking about how great, wonderful he was. He simply came in the ministry. Amen. We know because there is a natural love there. Amen. How there's a caring for them. Let me clarify this. We care for everybody, but there's some people, amen, when we first meet them, we understand assignment when we see it. Sons and daughters who are to be birthed out, amen. Sons and daughters who are to be cultivated. Relationships that are to be built. You understand what I'm saying? So when we meet them, instantly we know this is what it is. There's other people who come, and they come because other people have showed up. They come because they say, well, we want you to produce this record for us or give us some knowledge that you have. We're trying to figure out how to do this, that, and other. And they smile and think that, you know, they're going to get me to give them the secrets of production and everything else. Brother, sister, I went to school. You go to school, too. I've been doing this for most of my life, so I understand how the frequencies and sounds come together. You know, I've done this long enough. I know it. Amen. You're not going to sit in my congregation and smile at me and get all that wisdom in three services and then turn around and say, well, you know, the Lord's been calling me over to. There's a difference between sons and daughters. Amen. When David stood up before Saul, Saul loved him. Amen. And the thing is, this whole dynamic between Saul, amen, as a father figure to him, and let's not dismiss the fact that he has Jesse already. Amen. But Saul is the king. He is, if you will, the spiritual father of the nation. Amen. He's the representative that stands before the people. As they honor the king, they honor us. Amen? Yes. Huh? And he loved them. The Bible says, loved him greatly. This wasn't a light, strong light, a puppy love. There's no homophilia in here. You understand? This is a father looking at a son who he can see in himself greatness, and he extends to him all that he has. Second part of this is, and he became his armor bearer. I think it is important at this point right here, at this juncture, to begin to deal with that word right there just a little bit. This word has been misappropriated. Amen. Are not those who just carry those stuff. An armor bearer is not your entourage. An armor bearer is not someone who just stands up and you know, watches for people to come by you and, you know, watch out, you got to step back because he just got done preaching and he don't want to talk to nobody. No, that's not what an armor bearer does. The job of an armor bearer is simply to stand out in front of the champion. And take the first blow. They're the ones who, when it's time for the champion, if you will, when it's time for them to become dressed in their garb and in their battle arraignment, they're the ones who see them in their BVDs. and know where their flaws are, know where the shortcomings are. They can look at them and see the scars, the battle scars that they've had before. The armor bearer sees what you can't see from all that shiny, wonderful armor. The armor bearer beholds the flaw of the champion. Yet and still, he goes out and he bears the shield before him so that he can stand back with the weaponry and prepare himself to strike the decisive blow. The armor bearer is the one who has to be able to fight and yet still give the glory to the one that he's fighting for. Oh, my God. So we have these people now who are walking around talking about, I'm an armor bearer. But they're out for their own glory. They don't take a blow, they defer. Oh, that's them. You know, I'm just here because I'm waiting on God. No, no, you're not an armor bearer. You're a placeholder. Huh? See, let me shift this just a little bit. You have to understand that there's a difference between a hireling and a shepherd. A shepherd stays with the sheep even when they're under attack from a pack of wolves. A hireling will run and talk about the sheep are getting slaughtered by the wolves. David was a shepherd. Huh? When he got to Saul, he knew that not only did Saul have some battle wounds, David himself had some battle wounds. In other words, neither one of them was perfect, but one knew how to cover the other. It's some good teaching. And when you get to a place where God has given you a man, a woman of God as the armor bearer, then you have to learn how to stand with them and stand for them. This armor bearer right here goes back, supersedes, if you will, how David knew at this point that he was the king already, because Samuel had already anointed him as such. Help me, Holy Spirit. When he stood before him, that he was already his replacement. Consequently, Saul do it too. Ah. Thank you, Jesus. See, the thing is that the anointing that went on David was already familiar to Saul. Men and women in leadership, be careful how you treat those that are coming in succession behind you. Your job is to train them, not to kill them. Hallelujah. Saul here has an anointing. He has the Spirit upon him. And I've said it before, I've said it to different people, your anointing will satisfy you or it will crucify you. It will set you up for greatness or it'll kill you graveyard dead. The anointing is nothing to play with. The anointing is real. And a real anointing requires obedience to its assignment. No one is just anointed just for the sake of saying you're anointed. Every anointing comes with an assignment. And every assignment that is going to be done in the kingdom of God requires an anointing to do it. Oh, I'm out here, you know. No. See, there's a time for whatsoever your hands find to do, do it. And then there's a time for you to wait on your ministry. You can't just run up there. because you said somebody should do it. A lot of times that's your flesh looking for a position, looking for a platform, looking for validation. Got too many busybodies in the church and not enough people who are assigned doing their assignments. While you worrying about what everybody else ain't doing, what ain't you doing? I know that's bad grammar. Huh? Think about it. If your job is to take care of sweeping the floor and you worried about who's doing who ain't doing the window, the floor is still dirty, ain't it? Do your job and we'll get on the one who should be wiping down the windows. Second part of that is if you do the floor and you see the windows need to be done and a person is slowly getting around there but doing their job and the Lord puts it on you to help them. Notice I said help them, not take over the job. Help them, then help. And while you're doing it, don't be talking at them. The fact that you helping them. Keep your mouth shut. Do the job. Jesus, hallelujah. All right. So, David here is then Saul's armor bearer. Love, respected, and honored. And there's a couple of things you have to see. That when the anointing left Saul and went to David, David did not know what to do with the anointing. But Saul had already been given instruction with that anointing. My mind goes right now to a young prophet who was told to go and deliver a message of destruction and don't go back the same way that you came. And don't talk to nobody and don't tarry, don't eat, don't do nothing. Go this way and then come back another way. And when he got there, another prophet who knew what he was talked to him and told him, well, an angel came and told me that you're supposed to eat here. And he compelled him to do so. And after he compelled him to do so, he said, listen, before you go, I want to tell you that because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, on your way, you will not make it. And as he left, he was met by a lion. They found his body. The old prophet took that young man and laid him in his own tomb. There's a lot of lesson right there. There's a lot of moral to that story. But right here, we can see that the reason why Saul was so bent on killing David is because he realized that David was going to successfully do what he had failed to do. He was supposed to lead the people, fight for the people, keep them safe, and he did not. He was so busy trying to prove to people how wonderful and great he was as a king. He was only great when he had thousands around him, hundreds around him. When his numbers started dwindling, he started getting nervous and started violating God's covenant. David, if we read on, we see that David began to do everything that was required of him. Delivered the people. We don't have to go far to see this. 17th chapter, we talk about David and Goliath. Here is Saul, should be out there dealing with championing God's army, God's people. He's the king, chosen by God. Goliath out there call him out. And Saul sitting in the back, all scared. If anybody's going to stand up and go out there, surely it's our king. Listen, I've seen before where there were men who knew that it was a bad idea, but they stood up to defend the honor of their girlfriend or whatever. See, the fight goes on. Man gets beat down. The guy walks away laughing, talking about, but look at this. The girl whose honor he defended comes to his aid and begins to talk about the person who thought that they were doing something to show everybody. That's why you ain't this, that, and that. And if you ever, I don't know if you ever heard a female upset talking at somebody who thought they just had a victory. They have a way of bringing you all the way down. Amen? They will talk about you. You're not going to bully and Bogart your way through this. Ain't going to happen. Saul is sitting back looking for a champion when he should be the champion. The anointing that should have been and that was on Saul's life is now on David's life, which is why David can stand up and walk out there, Goliath, and say, you come against not just me, but against the God, against Jehovah. You come against our God. This day, you're going to die. And the anointing that was on Saul catapults David into the next level. They go out to battle. Look at this. David, Goliath, and then the army gets courage and begins to attack the Philistines. The anointing to lead has been demonstrated by example first. Y'all see that? Don't follow any leader who can't do what he or she's telling you to do. To be by example first. Say that with me. Leadership is by example first. People gain hope. They gain courage when the leader goes out first. Goliath was opposing. He was mentally a monstrosity. He was physically a monstrosity. It was too much to overcome with one person. But the anointing on his life made him just like anything else that he faced. If we begin to look at David and we shift in our studies, there's some things that we're going to begin to pick up here. Saul was given an anointing in place of the anointing that he lost. But instead of his anointing to succeed, he's anointed to fail. The distress that's upon him is the disobedience and the opportunities that he's had to get it right that he refused to do. Brothers, sisters, many of you living with regrets right now. God has talked to you. He's spoken to you, given you a chance and opportunity. You've made everybody else the scapegoat. Everybody else is the reason why. But really what it comes down to is you just refuse to obey God. And see, this is what apostles do. We call you back to holiness and righteousness. A Woman of Prophetic Destiny conference that is coming is aptly named A Call Back to Holiness. Because we got to stop making excuses for not doing what God said do. Well, you know, if I was going, I was thinking to stop. All of that you're doing right there is the excuse that you think is going to stand before God. And I'm here to tell you, it will not stand. God is going to get his glory out of this one way or the other. Now, my question to you, as we come to an end of this broadcast today, is, are you a Saul or are you a David? Don't answer that too quick. Because if you are a David, you know that you're great already. God has confirmed it in you before you even sit on the throne. Notice this. Before David even saw what the throne looked like, he already had it. Before you even see the end game, you already know you won it. Before anybody comes up to you and shakes your hand and gives you attaboys and accolades, you already know that you got it. In other words, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody. That way you don't have to worry about pleasing people. All you got to do is focus on pleasing God. If you're Saul, you still think you got an anointing, but can't do nothing with it. So it torments you because everything you try, you see that? You try, fail. Well, thank God for redemption. Thank God for Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for being a God of another chance, another chance. If you have been the one that had the anointing, lost it, I want to tell you that you can regain your anointing. Amen. Why? Because I lost mine, running after my fleshly ways. But when I got saved, God anointed me afresh, new oil. What I do now is the result of what God gave me to do, the new assignment with the new anointing. And I'm very careful to keep it safe. Amen. Amen. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you would like to be saved. I pray that you pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you would lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching ministry where they can be developed and grown. Lord, I just simply say thank you for traveling mercies and everything that you've done for us. Thank you for bringing us over the highways and the byways. Even now, Lord, as those who are destined and predestined to come to this Woman of Prophetic Destiny Conference, as they begin their travels here, Lord, cover them. Keep every bolt, every nut and screw, the tires from the top of the car all the way down to the bottom. Lord, from the bumper to the bumper. Lord, even every working mechanism, keep it in order. Keep them safe and alert as they drive. Lord, and then allow them to come here, Lord, with a praise on the heart, a praise on the mouth, Lord, and allow them to come here ready to receive. Lord, our faith is extended in expectancy of miracles, signs, wonders, deliverances, soul saved, assignments issued, and destinies solidified. Help us now, Lord, to move forward in the things that you have called us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen, I pray that you will go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. What is a vision partner? A vision partner is one who will stand with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We'll see you on Thursday night at 7 p.m. for Kingdom Lifestyle. I mean, for prophetic atmosphere. Amen. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We love you.